happy 40th birthday, here's your first kid. Round 2, 3 years later, it's time to leave showbiz. Gets a divorce, now he's single again. Time to start slaying with ladies, cause he's the man. Settles down a couple years later with a dope wife. Soon after, has a revelation, reinvents his life.
Bruce Allen, I'm listening to my son who is currently in the house. He's in the house. My son is in the house. And he made that song for me. It was very R-rated originally, but we did a PG version, and that's what we use for the show. The R-rated version really worked, but it was not appropriate for my radio show or, frankly, the community of parents that I largely serve with Dad Chat and other things. But it was who he is, and it did fit the genre. Anyway, my son is home, and I love hearing that music, and it's really, really cool. It is time for Spiritual Talk with Pastor Drew Sams, who is a minister for gosh knows how many years at Westlake Calvary Community Church. He is a surfer, and he is the proud parent of baby Judah Andrew. And welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Happy Thursday. And for those
and happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, that's right.
Okay, let's get the health and welfare update, but then I want to know what you're doing with baby Drew for Halloween, for his first Halloween where he's, you know, somewhat conscious. He was like weeks old last Halloween. So let's have, with a fanfare, the update and health and welfare of baby Judah Andrew Sams.
Boy, as I love each week, sharing another update with you. A little over 18 months, my son right now is, and he, today on Halloween, is dressing up like Superman. So exciting, so fun.
Costume. Oh, please send me a photo, Pastor Drew, and I'll send it I'll tweet it out. Everybody that loves you will want to see it.
Oh, I'd love to. You know, he was Superman last year, but he was so young. I didn't really feel like he got a chance to enjoy it, didn't really get that opportunity to really step into that costume. So here he is, first year. He can finally walk. We're going to take him around the neighborhood with some friends. It'll be so much fun. Can't wait.
Does your neighborhood get into it? Is there a certain area or a couple blocks that really go to town with the decorations?
You know, not where I live. I live in an area, you know, it's all condos and kind of people work late and come and go. So actually what we're going to do, I think like a lot of people do, we're going to travel to another neighborhood. This is a neighborhood
Good.
That some of our friends
Good.
Live in, and it's flat. It's super safe, and I think it'll be a lot easier than the hilly kind of convoluted area that my wife and I and my son live in. So we'll have a lot of fun tonight. I'll share those photos with you later on tonight.
Oh, please, please, please do. You know, there's a neighborhood up in Oak Park that's kind of famous. There's a block, and they often have live bands on it. And if you actually really want to find out, it's flat too. I mean, the whole area is hilly, but you go up and there's this one block, a cul-de-sac, that just goes bonkers. And I know there must be neighborhoods like that all over the country, but that was really fun because you could just, I mean, not in your case because baby Drew is so small, but you could let your 5, 6, 7, 8-year-olds just walk around that street by themselves because you'd be right on the end. There's nowhere for them to go. Tons of parents, totally safe. And those early lessons in them being independent, you know, without having to have mom and dad hold their hand every step of the way. I mean, I don't know what the right age is that you let them do that, but in the right environment, that stuff is really cool.
Oh, it sure is. In many ways, it's a rite of passage, you know, for both the parent
exactly.
and the kid when they decide to let them go and walk. And yeah, so much fun.
Yes, I did let my son at 18 finally leave the house and go to college.
There you go.
Up to that point, I held his hand every step of the way. So commercials, ads, lies. That's the name of this week's column. And having been the youth minister at your church for so many years and still, of course, tending and caring for youth in your bigger capacity job, you must have seen the impact of this kind of brainwashing and propaganda repeatedly. So I'd love your thoughts on this and how it affects our kids and what you're looking forward to, good and bad, and what you have plans for your own son.
Yeah, boy, I've seen it so much. I've been working with high school kids for almost 10 years now. It's hard to believe. And over the years, not only have I seen among the teens, but boy, also as much among the adults in my own life, just our American society, we really have become so good at buying into, as you put it very bluntly, the lies that many companies
mm-hmm.
tell. And even, you know, part of my doctoral work, I actually researched the history of advertising And did you? I don't know if you knew this, but depending on which historian you follow in this specific history of advertising, some say that advertising began when creators of goods or of products actually had, for the first time, a surplus. So, in other words, what they had on stock was more than the demand for the product. You know, we've lived for millennia, you know, creating things that we need, and there was never any surplus. And so for the first time, there was a surplus in the mid-1800s. And so the first groups of people started to say, okay, what we've got to do is we've got to get people to want to buy our product. We've got to increase the demand. And so advertising was created. And now, fast forward to today, I remember reading a quote a couple years ago, Steve Jobs, late Steve Jobs, master advertiser.
And marketer,
yes, said this, and I thought it was so fascinating. He says, we don't create products that people need. We tell consumers what they need. And that's a paraphrase, but basically he was saying that, you know, we're not creating products, you know, that people have already come to us and say, hey, we need this, this will help us. We're basically telling people what they need and then providing it for them. And that is, you know, a masterclass in advertising and marketing. And look at all the people that have bought into it. And because of that, we let our identities become wrapped up in the things that we own, the status that we have when we carry a certain phone or drive a car or have a certain label on a, you know, a handbag or clothes. And boy, it's so pervasive.
Mm-hmm. And are there any that you that have struck you as strongly as the ones I listed, or any that you just laugh at every time you hear, like I do with some of the ones I listed?
Well, yeah, I mean, I love how even as you listed through in your column, you had a variety of things. You know, you talked about that ad lineup and how, you know, all these different, in some ways, are so brilliant. They take, like, the pistachio commercial this past year. So Psy, I mean, he was like an internet phenomenon, I believe, from Korea, and just, you know, and so they took this thing, and they took that following, the love for that, and they put it on pistachios. Psy's got nothing to do with pistachios, right? But it well, elevated a nut to something so cool that I wanted.
How does a bikini-clad woman have anything to do with cars?
But it sure does sell cars.
Okay. I mean, and we use sex to sell everything, and that's part of the problem. I mean, if it was just an elegant woman, I would understand it, but this blatant sex in our face.
Yeah, I spoke this past weekend to a group of high school kids, and I made the comment that in Scripture, it actually describes us as God's creation, as God's masterpiece. But society tells us, I believe, that we're born not as a masterpiece, but as a blank canvas. And it's all up to us to create a masterpiece. And companies tell us that, well, you can create a masterpiece if you buy our product. An example of that is actually there was a Camel magazine ad that came out a couple years ago. I clipped it out. I still have it. And this was the catchphrase. We all start out the same, but only some of us get interesting. In other words, we all start out a blank canvas, but only some of us become a masterpiece. Only some of us get interesting. Just really small in the corner, it just said Camel. And I think that's so true that we've created a society where, you know, we start out as blank slates, blank canvases, and depending on what we buy, what we wear, what we own, then we do better than others or worse than others at creating a masterpiece with our lives. And that's what people buy into.
Yeah, it's amazing. There's a current commercial now that also does that very, I think in a very fun way, but and I don't think this is necessarily evil or anything, but it's a Mercedes-Benz commercial, and it shows that actor, I forget his name, always plays evil characters, and he's playing the devil, and he's with a young, you know, ordinary-looking man, and he's saying, if you give me your soul, you can have this particular car, and the guy starts imagining what his life would be like with this car, and he's hanging out with Usher, and he's picking up the hot girls, and he's driving race cars, and then he poofs out of the dream and notices that the car starts at an affordable price, and he decides to pass on the devil's offer. But the notion that a car alone would give us all that stuff is sort of hysterical. But that is what they try to convince us, and too many people believe it, especially are impressionable kids that see something and think it might actually look like what they see in the commercial. I mean, you know that there are food preparers for food commercials. They know how to take the food that they're promoting for both filmed ads or filmed movies, for that matter, and print ads. And they are like food handlers. And they use special coloring and filters and brightness to make the actual food, you know, look astonishingly better. Not to mention that I would guess, okay, I'm not sure, but in many cases, the actual size and quantity of a portion in an ad is probably a whole lot bigger, better, richer looking than it is when you order it at that fast food joint.
Oh, so true. I always laugh when I get there. You know, I pull into the drive-thru and I think, wait a second, this is not at all what it looked like on the ad yesterday. You know, where's
you
that
know,
fluffy
let's talk
lettuce
about Carl's
and all that?
Jr. with the drippy ads and the girls wearing, bikinis, or that girl that was the girlfriend of a football player who now does this ad for like Carl's Jr. wearing a skimpy bikini as she's eating a burger. Okay. That's what our kids are growing up with.
Yeah.
It's not a healthy environment.
No, it's not. And I think that it's up to us as parents to really help shape and to really remind them that their identity isn't based upon what they own. It isn't based on the labels that they wear, but really it's based on, you know, who God says they are and who God created them to be.
And who they choose to be.
Yeah, so true.
How you live your life is going to be a bigger reflection on who you are than what you're wearing, what you're driving, or what car is in your garage.
Yeah, that's so true. And I think that this next generation needs that reminder. Otherwise, they're going to buy into the lies that it is what they drive,
well,
what they own.
Let me put out a suggestion for listeners and for you as a new parent. I believe in this incredibly passionately, which is do not have commercial television in your home until your kids are well past 10. So we had no commercial cable television in the home, and two other rules. The only television watching allowed was non-school days and 2 hours a maximum per non-school day. So during the summer, they could watch every day, but no more than 2 hours. But because we had nothing but a television monitor, in essence, the only thing they could watch, and this was more pervasive in those days, was DVDs. So we would go to the store and we would check out a DVD, and most DVDs of movies and television series do not have commercials. So they watched shows that I completely controlled what they saw. Again, this was before they had computers in their own rooms, where at 17 and 20, I don't, you know, monitor what my two boys watch anymore. But when they're 5, 6, 7, 8, you do need to monitor it. And I got to tell you, I believe that was a huge aid. They both became avid readers. Yes, they wanted the toys and the things that their friends had, but it wasn't in their face as much as it was in their friend's face. So for 10 years, we did not have public TV. I missed certain events, but I could watch them at friends' houses, you know, the Super Bowl and certain live events that you do care about, the Olympics, obviously breaking news occasionally I'd miss, but the computer would offer a lot of that. So I really, that's a big suggestion. I encourage you to consider personally, just as your friend, and my readers and listeners to consider all the time.
Yes, there's this age appropriateness that I hear you saying. And I could add on to that, that let's say they get to the place where they feel as a parent that their kids are ready to start watching that. You can play this game. This is one my brother and sister-in-law do. Every time they watch a commercial, they play a game where it's, they call it, what's the lie? And every time they watch a commercial, they, as a family, have to find the lie that's being told in that commercial. So, you know, a kid will yell out, the lie is that if I buy that car, I'll have a supermodel girlfriend. Or if I, you know, if I drink that beer, all of a sudden I'm now going to be in better shape.
You mean it's not true?
Yeah, I don't know. It hasn't worked. It hasn't worked for my friends.
Do it for me.
No disclaimers on the bottom of that commercial, yet they keep preaching that gospel, as it were.
Very funny. Believe it or not, even though we've done a larger segment, we are almost out of time. So quickly tell us where you're not blogging and when my column is going to be done. He is 18 months old. Okay, you need demerits. I'm going to have to charge you a penalty for this not being finished.
Boy, if you were a debt collector, my credit score would be in the low 200s at this point.
Yes.
6 months late. I know. I'm not blogging at drewsams.com, okay. But you can find me on all social networks, @SurferDrew.
And if you're ever in Westlake, you must go to Westlake Calvary Community Church and actually hear Pastor Drew in person. He's quite inspiring.
Thank you, Pastor Drew.
Have a good Halloween. And for the rest of you, stay tuned for Dr. Jennifer Weberman coming. Therapy talk after these messages. He used to have a Jufro. He was born and raised out in the town of LA. That's where he went to UCLA, got his MBA. His first film at age 24. That's when he really started to score. Vice president of ABC. Yeah, that's right. He's a motherfucking G. Yeah.